They are Sports Illustrated.
It's amazing.
This incredible body of work.
I really appreciate the integrity.
Everything you do is well done.
You guys do a great job.
We love it. What can we say?
He's Chris Mannix.
He's employed by Sports Illustrated.
The announcer's got it in for me.
There you go.
This is the Crossover NBA Podcast.
You have a problem with it? Build a team that can beat them.
Hosted by the one and only.
Oh, thank God.
Thank God.
Chris Mannix.
All right, so many of you know Jerry Ferrar from Entourage. He plays Joe Proctor on the Starz series Power, which just wrapped up filming of season 6, likely to premiere sometime this summer. He is also doing his part to end civilization as we know it in his role as head scout for Knicks Gaming, New York's entry into the NBA 2K's 21-team esports league, which is the NBA's stamp of approval on kids spending every waking hour playing video games instead of, you know, doing anything else. The 18-week third season of NBA 2K League kicks off on Tuesday, and all games can be seen on Twitch. Did I get all that right, Jerry?
I'm so impressed. You got that all right. You actually sounded passionate about it. I loved it. You did great.
For the context of why this podcast is happening, a couple months back, Jerry and I were at dinner with our good friend Adrian Wojnarowski and some other people. And Jerry, who is very excited about this NBA 2K stuff, was talking about his players. And from the other side of the room, I was kind of chiming in with a lot of negative things to say about NBA 2K.
And it's a great starting point because, like, you're such a sharp dude. I'm like, you're hitting me with, like, the A button stuff. You were like, what, does he hit the A button faster than anyone? I'm like, Mannix, come on, buddy. Like,
low-hanging fruit.
I've seen your, like, you got much more than that. You were hit, but you were also in between, like, bites of food, just shouting out, having no idea what we were talking about on the other side of the table.
I just heard you say, like, I got one kid who's really good. I'm like, at pressing the A button.
I think when you heard me say, we run the pick and roll well, you kind of got very upset.
I did.
You almost got borderline offended.
I did.
When I said, we run the pick and roll and sometimes five out.
Oh my God, I forgot about that. I forgot about running the pick and roll. What does that involve, like, toggling a little bit?
It is a little toggling. I can't wait to dive into this. This has been a long time coming.
This has been a long time. Let's just, for context here, how did you get involved with Knicks Gaming? You've always been a long-time NBA 2K fan, but how'd you get involved with it?
So, long-time 2K fan and gaming fan in general. Obviously, anyone who knows me who's listening knows I'm a huge Knicks fan, so I go to a lot of the games. I've gotten to know a lot of the people within the organization, and they sort of came to me when this league was announced and said, hey, do you know anything about this NBA 2K stuff? And I told them I'm a huge fan of the game, and they said, do you want to come help out and do some stuff? Like, this is in the infant stage. It wasn't even announced yet. And I didn't even know how much, you know, I would be involved. And it just kind of took off from there. Within a week, we're designing the virtual court. I know you love hearing that. We're designing the virtual jerseys.
Parquet or hardwood?
And they gave me a brilliant Penn grad, an analytics and data statistician, whatever you want to call them, came to work with me. And it started, and it has been nonstop ever since.
Okay, so what are your day-to-day responsibilities, if there are any?
So day-to-day, back then it was, we're literally drafting a team 1 through 5 with a sixth man, right? So that we are essentially starting a new team from nothing. Now in season 2, after winning the title, humble brag, you know, we had to replace, we lost 2 players to expansion. So my duties were replacing those 2 players.
Two players to expansion?
The Brooklyn Nets took the finals MVP,
Digging
Nate Call.
New York one more time.
Finals MVP. So the Brooklyn Nets are one of the expansion teams. They drafted, we couldn't protect everyone. So they drafted the finals MVP as the face of their franchise. And that's who we're playing in the opening tip-off tournament tomorrow night, the Brooklyn Nets. Crosstown rivalry's back. So once the team is drafted and set, it really is just help manage discussing lineups. There is a lot to go into it, and if you want to get into the details of it, it is not 1v1 with a lot of artificial intelligence. It is a 5-human versus 5-human lineup. Every player plays a specific position. So we have a point guard, we have 1 through 5. Within those positions, there are certain archetypes you could pick. So for instance, if you're playing point guard, you could select a sort of Steph Curry archetype where you're deadly from 3 and you got good ball handling, or you could select more of a Kyle Lowry, two-way, gritty kind of player. So every position then selects their archetype, and that's your team comp. Mm-hmm. and we scout the team we're playing next. We build a game plan. We've been in scrimmages for 2 weeks, and then we go attack. And we're playing for money, Chris. There's real money at stake.
I get that. All right, but like, how are you scouting players to draft? Like, what is the? I'm just curious how you identify these players.
So, and again, it was a little bit easier in year two because we're not drafting six players, so we only had to really focus in on two. But for instance, this year, you know, the last year's game, the two guard was sort of, we called it like a cone, right? All the two guard position could really do is shoot. Was no two-way build. The build only was if he's open, he's going to hit the shot. That's it. So this year, the game has changed, and now that two guard is much more of a secondary ball handler and all that, so we had to draft that position. So the NBA 2K League, they do a combine. So if you want to be eligible, you have to participate in 50 games, and you keep making these different level of cuts, whittling it down to 200 people. Then we get all these 200 players, we get their actual games on DVR, and we watch their games. So we're breaking down what they did inside the video game, and then we go through a pretty extensive like player interview, trying to see what they're like as a person, what matters to them. Do they love the game, or do they hate to travel? What are they like?
So this is like an actual combine, because everything you're saying matches up with, to a degree, besides the fact they're, you know, not athletes, in the actual NBA
combine. We're
going
to get into that, because I see that's the real hot button thing for you that drives you crazy.
Absolutely is.
We'll get into that later. But yes, I would equate it to, you know, if you ever had hopes or aspirations of being one day being in an NBA or an NFL front office or something, this is almost like a perfect simulator, because the stakes are pretty high in the moment, but obviously you're not running a billion-dollar, you know, franchise. It is a perfect simulator for what it really would be. I know it's hard to translate to a video game, but we are literally drafting off of need, off of chemistry fit. Sometimes you maybe want to draft a guy who's a little bit older for a little more leadership, because a lot of these kids, and I say that with all due disrespect, without any disrespect, they haven't lived on their own before. They've never been to New York City before.
Well, I mean, their parents' basements count.
They're kids. Some of them are 19 years old. They're in college.
Do you want to draft older for leadership? Like,
sometimes, yeah. I mean, I'm just saying, not us per se, but sometimes, I mean, you could have a 19-year-old kid who literally this is their summer job. So in between college years, I'm going to take the summer off. I made the 2K League. I'm going to focus on that, which some guys I know did that.
Mm-hmm. I did my research on this.
It.
I read some of your quotes about when you joined this team. You said your goal was to help with team chemistry.
Yes.
How have you been able to do that?
Okay, so perfect example. Last year, you know, how the season worked is it was a 14-game season. Top eight teams made the playoffs. Okay. Every 4 weeks, there is a exhibition tournament, meaning the games don't count toward the regular season, but there's big money on the line. So you could still not be competitive in the regular season, but win money. It's a way to keep everybody vested. The final tournament, exhibition tournament for money, did have a caveat. It's called the ticket tournament. You win that, regardless of your record, it's an automatic bid to the playoffs. We were 3-8, I think, at that point, or maybe even 3-9 when the tip-off tournament rolled around, out of the playoffs. I don't even think there was a mathematical way. And our team was just floundering, and a lot of it was chemistry. And we had a big team meeting, and a lot of our players cite this as the moment where things changed. And guys wanted to bench our first-round pick, and other guys wanted to take more shots. It was just mayhem. No one was happy with their role and what was happening, because we were losing. And we had this 3-hour meeting, and I said some things, and then I let them say some things to me, and it all got worked out. It actually felt at the end of it like that went nowhere, and this is a disaster. We lost one game the rest of the season. We won that ticket tournament for $100,000, got the official eighth seed, because we weren't a playoff team, so that automatically punches into the eighth seed, beat the number one seed in the first round of the playoffs, and ran the table, won another $100,000, and won the first ever championship because the chemistry came together. All these kids could play. They're all great at the game. They would abuse you and us in the game. Mm-hmm. It was a chemistry thing, which I think even at the professional level of the NBA, all those guys could play. It's, are they comfortable within their role, and do they want to play for each other, or do they have other interests? And once our guys figured that out, and now we have to get back to that place this year, they were unstoppable.
Where does the skill level come into all this? Because, look, I grew up playing video games. I mean, guys were better than me. I grew up playing like Street Fighter, and because guy could do a finishing move better than me, I didn't think he was like super skilled at it. Like, where does the skill come in and stuff like this?
So as far as with 2K, it is unique because look, there is, you could call it stick skill. Like there's a point guard in the league right now, it goes by the name of Radiant, plays for the Sixers. His handles, which is a skill, not everyone can do this. His ball handling is just of another level. No one in the league could handle the ball at point guard like this guy. He can get to anywhere he wants on the court, and he really is a problem. He's probably the front runner maybe for MVP this year going into it. That mixed with also having a basketball IQ, like if our center, I am saying that people running pick and roll, and if he's sometimes like, I don't want my man to score, so he's just dropping back with the center, giving up the easy middy for the point guard. We have to start telling you, call timeout. I say, no, you know what? You got to sag. You got to help on the point guard. Let the center roll, and then we have to have our rotations. It's all traditional basketball IQ rules apply. I know it's hard to wrap your head around
Hold on. The ball handling part, I'm just still trying to, you know, digest here. I mean, like,
it's a skill.
Like, okay, your thumb? Like, just moving?
Okay, so you got your hands on the controller, right? You have your thumbs on the sticks, as you like to call it. You have your index fingers on, like, LB, RB, whatever you want to call it. Mm. You know, a crossover, like, you flick right, but then cut, and you flick left, and that's a crossover. You're putting together these combinations with the stick that equate to NBA moves. So if you want to do a hezzy dribble with a spin into a Euro step, that is a certain stick combination. Okay, that you have to do. Some guys do it better than others. Also, knowing when to do it. Again, what is the defense giving me? You know, I know I could I could come off this pick and then cross over to the left, and the defense is in a scramble. Mm. So it is a stick skill. There's guys who do it dramatically better than other guys. There's guys who shoot because it's a timing thing. Your release is everything on shooting with 2K, and also your base. There's guys who just have that release. They're shooters. Mm-hmm. That's all. They can't dribble. They don't have stick skill, but they can shoot. Mm.
So why? You're not selling me at all on this. So why?
Really?
Because, all right, here's my biggest problem. This is what we got into when we first had this discussion. Why do you, you're about to be a father.
Yes.
Why would you want your kid to be, if he was like, I want to be the best gamer out there, would you encourage that?
Yes. If he wanted it, if he wanted to do it, if he came to me and said, I love League of Legends or whatever the game is, and I really want to try to do the best. First of all, you got to be a responsible parent. Everything else has to be in order. Your schoolwork has to be in order. You know, he has to be behaving like a good kid. He's not.
But
just
these are big time commitments, like to get good at this stuff. And the difference is making a big time commitment to playing actual basketball versus online basketball is actual basketball will get you in good shape. At worst, even if you fail, you are in better shape because of it. At video game stuff, you're just not like you. I mean, I know when you can explain like how they keep the top guys in better shape than others, but most of the people trying to get to that level don't have trainers or, you know, nutritionists or whatever like that. It's just, to me, it's just like, you know, I wouldn't want my kid anywhere near. If he was like, I want to be a gamer, like figure something else out. We're taking the PlayStation out of the house.
See, that's a choice, which every parent is entitled to make. You know, I got humbled really quickly one time. I was actually doing a podcast with someone who knows a lot more about, you know, technology and social media and all that. And I was at the place, like this is like 2 years ago, where I was saying, like, I don't think I'd ever want my kid, you know, to be like 11 years old on Instagram and all that. It's just, and he basically called me an idiot. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, this is dangerous. He's like, yes, it's dangerous. That's their tools. That's what they're going to grow up with. Just like you grew up with something that your parents were a little bit afraid of, as long as you manage it responsibly, why are you going to limit them to what everyone else they're growing up with is going to be mastering or figuring out or enjoying, and they're just going to have no idea what it is.
But like, you use the phrase manage responsibly.
And that's always a big part of it.
You don't really have to manage responsibly outdoor sports. Like if your kid's like, man, I want to spend like 6 hours on a Saturday playing basketball. If you're a parent, more likely than not, you say yes, go do that. Play wiffle ball.
The grades got to be in order.
But beyond
he or she has to be behaving, and like, yeah, it's a privilege in a way, right? Like you got to earn. At least I had to earn the right to be able to play sports. If I was messing up, whether in school or on the street, my mom had one of the greatest punishments of all time. She punished me from our championship game in Little League. I thought she was joking. She made me go to my grandmother's house. I took my uniform and my book bag. And then when I was like, I put it on, she's like, what are you doing? I'm like, well, the game's at 2 o'clock. She's like, I said you're not going. And I threw a tantrum, and she held the line. And I learned, and I didn't really make that mistake ever again. The video game thing with working out, and I get it. Look, there's some people who, yes, they play video games, they don't do anything else, and they're sitting on the couch, and they're eating Doritos, and they're maybe having weight issues or whatever. That I don't necessarily think that's the video games that cause that. They may not necessarily be... So if there's no video games in the world, could you guarantee they'd be playing basketball every day and like getting some exercise? My 10-year-old nephew plays video games religiously. He also goes to boxing on Friday afternoons, and he plays basketball on Saturdays. It's balance. I don't think that you have to like make it the only thing your kid does for that kid to become... great. And there's a lot of other things that go into it.
But
that
you can't
you can
be
learn.
Great. But you can't be great at something unless you do go all into it. That's
okay.
The only.
Here's
way
a question:
do.
If your kid said, "Dad, I really love chess and I want to grow up to be one of the best chess players in the world," would you support that?
Yes.
So you would support him playing chess for 12 hours a day, every day, not playing sports, sitting there playing chess. Why? Because it's viewed as an intellectual...
Viewed, and like there's a... I mean, it's like, you know, older people doing the crossword puzzle. Like, it's a mental exercise.
I'm
flexing a mental muscle.
And this is where the rubber meets the road with you and I. I'm not saying video games equal chess. I'm not trying to take anything away from professional chess intellectuals and all that. Like, I'm not saying that.
Bar Spatsky all the way. Yes.
But I will say, if you think for one second that at certain higher levels of gaming, you don't need an immense amount of intellect and brains and skill and IQ, and also getting that mental exercise, you're saying that chess might do, trying to think 14 moves ahead, you're
wrong.
You
can't sit there and tell me that there are parallels between being a great gamer and a great chess player. I don't think they're on the same level.
Listen, if you want to start talking about, first of all, chess has been around a lot longer. So,
yes.
You know, give us time. Maybe we'll get there. Okay.
4 seasons.
But there are formulas going on in certain games. Obviously, 2K is a sports game, so maybe it doesn't get to that level, but there's certain formulas going on with the highest level of games, which, by the way, there's millions of people watching these young men and women playing these games at the high level where they're making these judgments in real time. Mm-hmm. It is not as simple as point and shoot.
I don't think it's simple. Nothing's
simple.
It
takes massive amounts of skill and intellect to be of the highest level. We're talking about professionals. I know you don't love the word athlete. I think we use the word athlete, like esports athlete. It's just another way of saying professional, meaning they have an immense amount of structure around their life to support what they are trying to do. Yes, there is no physical athletic ability other than some really good hand eye that goes into playing some of these games, but there's a tremendous amount of strategy, game planning, intellect, dedication, and camaraderie. So the same thing you might get from playing high school basketball, I get it. You don't get the physical benefits, but the same camaraderie with a group of 5 guys or girls that you're doing in this game, plotting, strategizing to take down a Goliath of an opponent, to me, it correlates.
You get all that, the camaraderie, relationships. I buy into some of what you're saying there. But for the kids that don't make it to that high esports level, what do they get out of it? Because if you don't make it, and this kind of goes back to what I said earlier, if you don't make it playing basketball, football, hockey, whatever, you still, I think, have a tangible benefit in how you feel physically, how you know, the same locker room camaraderie you experience doing esports. If you don't make it to the highest level of an esports league, what are you? Just kind of like an overweight stoner? Like what exactly? And the irony of this, Jerry, is that like you played a character who smoked weed and played video games and was overweight in your early seasons.
Yes, in the infant stages of Entourage and of gaming, I played an overweight stoner who played a lot of video games. And by the way, that, I'll be fully transparent, that's definitely what helped lead me to be 200 pounds at 5'6". You know, I wasn't getting a whole lot of exercise. But at some point, I don't think I would have been getting that exercise anyway. It would have been something else. I would have been watching movies, or I would have been going.
They're not as addictive. Like movies aren't as addictive. Like, you know, even in professional sports nowadays, like there are pro sports teams that are obsessed with Fortnite and getting Fortnite away from their players, because these guys stay up all night long playing Fortnite and affects them during the season. That's a real thing in the NBA.
Yeah, and isn't it funny? It used to be they wanted their guys to get out of the clubs and come home and be home in bed by 11. Right. See, I don't think you could blame that on Fortnite. They just want their guys sleeping at 11 o'clock being well rested. So choose your poison. You want guys out in clubs? You want guys playing Fortnite? Whatever it is, they're going to do something. They're young, successful men. Like, they're going to want to enjoy it in whatever their version of that is, whether it's playing Fortnite till 3 a.m. or going out, they're going
to
do it.
But you made a conscious decision at some point in your life to get in better shape.
Yes.
To do all that. Like, and you know, you had a lot of the resources at your disposal. You could do that. You could commit the time and energy to it. What about the kids that don't? Like, that are just playing video games like you were coming up. They don't make these esports teams. Do they just continue down the same path? Are they healthy because of it? This is, and I hate sounding like get off my lawn type,
it's a good conversation.
It's like, where is the tangible? Because it's like anything else. I mean, how many gamers do you reject? Like, how many apply?
Thousands upon thousands.
And where's
upon
the benefit for those kids that are doing it? That they just keep going, keep trying until
they try next
like
year.
35 years old, and
they
still
try.
Doing it?
They try next year. There's guys who were in the league in year one and didn't get drafted back to the league, and they're gonna try for year three. Some of the guys who wanted to try out for the league, you know, they weren't even of legal age yet. So one kid who was 17, he couldn't play. He was already known as one of the best players. And then he turned 18 and he's in.
You have an age minimum in the league?
Of course. You got to be 18. I mean, you got to be a legal adult. I mean, you're traveling all over the country, you know. There is an age limit, you know. You got to be able to make this decision yourself. They haven't gone the level of having 16-year-old kids with parental consent yet.
Well, they're a kid. I mean, but like you say that, but, you know, kids playing in AAU tournaments, travel over the country. You know,
right,
gymnastics.
But usually that involves a parent to probably be
sometimes,
around,
but their parents don't always go in the AAU stuff. And like, there are travel teams and you know, youth tournaments that are like younger basketball.
See, I'm a perfect example. I played sports my entire life. I played every sport imaginable, with the exception of tennis, because we just didn't have a tennis racket, and there was no real tennis courts in Brooklyn that I remember. And at some point, obviously, I wasn't going anywhere. I'm 5'6". I played a little bit of high school basketball, and I always stayed competitive in intramural leagues in college. And then I left college after a year. I started doing, and I just stopped playing. Just didn't play. And it wasn't because I wanted to play video games. I got busy working. You know, I started getting other responsibilities where it's like, oh, I can't play basketball 4 hours a week. And then slowly over time, I got super out of shape. I don't think there's a correlation. Like, if you have a lazy person, I think they'll find a way to be lazy. Video games certainly is a great way to be lazy. But if you look at a lot of the top guys and girls out there who are doing it, and they do preach mental health, physical health as part of it. Our guys have, there's facilities for them to work out.
Explain that. Explain like that, what the league itself does and the teams it does to keep kids healthy during this stuff.
Well, first and foremost, it's just available. You know, you can't demand, like, I don't think we're in a position where we're, at least us, I don't want to speak for other organizations, we're not demanding, like, you got to work out 12 hours a week or else you're benched.
Maybe you should.
But I think some teams are building that into their thing. Like, today, we work out at 8, scrims till 12, interviews till 3, and then you do what you want.
I watched some of these videos. There are some heavy set.
Yeah, and there's also guys who are absolutely ripped and jacked that, like, would put you and I to shame.
It's
like,
not hard for me.
But I mean, you can look around in an office place and see various builds. I don't think there's a full correlation. Like, if someone is lazy as a trait, then yes, like I was. It is very hard to get them up, out, and working out. You have to want to do it. And if I think there's plenty of non-gamers who are on the couch, lazy, smoking or doing whatever they're doing, who are out of shape. I don't think there's a direct correlation. Like, if you play video games, that means you have a higher chance of being really overweight and out of shape and unhealthy.
You don't think that there's a correlation to that? That if you play video games, there's a higher chance of being overweight, out of shape, and unhealthy? I think it's a.
I mean,
could be.
We're getting into such a minutia of detail. Like, what if you just have a great metabolism? I mean, I know guys who literally stuff their face with Doritos and pizza and play video games for 14 hours a day, and they're 145 pounds. I never had that luxury. My metabolism is as slow as humanly possible. So, like, then we're really getting into. Yes, I'm sure there are cases where someone plays a lot of video games and there's an addictive level, and that correlates with eating poorly and not exercising. That is true. I get it. But I don't think you could put all the onus on video games, just like you know, some people put a lot of onus on, like, well, the shooting games are terrible for the, and that's a much, much bigger discussion. Yeah. But I don't know. I just see the positive impact. Okay, if your kid plays video games all the time and never makes a league and he's not good enough to make it, okay. So then what if he starts an esports team and then is managing that? What if he's the CEO of an esports gaming team? Or what if he's head of marketing for one of these billion-dollar almost esports franchises? That's what I mean when I say this is the generation you're going to grow up with. So you could fight against it and say, no, that's not how we do things in our house. You're going to play real sports. Or you could balance it like everything else and see where he or she wants to go with it. And
but it's hard to balance when, again, you have to make a real commitment to be great at anything, whether it's acting, writing.
That's anything, though. That's literally anything. For you to be great at what you do, I'm sure you put in your 10,000 plus hour. You probably put in 100,000 hours, if that's even humanly possible. It's like that with everything. And now there's actually a light at the end of the tunnel with gaming.
That's what I want to get into next. What is the light? What's the future of gaming? Because this league grew from, I think, 16 teams to 21 this year.
Well, as far as NBA 2K, I believe, and again, I'm speaking from my opinion. This is not an official NBA statement, but I'm of the opinion they want to get all, you know, 30 teams involved. They want to grow it even internationally. There are international players in the league because there are teams playing in China and in Europe, and there's a whole 2K community there. They want to grow. I mean, Adam Silver himself called it the fourth league, the NBA's fourth league. I mean, that's a pretty great stamp from the commissioner of the NBA. So as far as that goes, that's what I know the hope is probably. I mean, he was inspired by going to a League of Legends, the League of Legends playoffs, and seeing that stadium. He's like, I don't know if our NBA crowds are this ravenous. I mean, it's a huge business. So when I say there's a light at the end of the tunnel, it's similar to traditional sports. Not every kid, young person, is going to be a professional, but you know, there's a lot of opportunity now, and it's a lot easier, technologically speaking, to see someone reach their potential in the other area that they didn't even know they had.
One thing I don't understand is...
One thing.
There's a lot of things I don't understand. But we've cashed a few things out here. I don't understand how this is a spectator sport. Like, I don't... You talk about the crowds and how ravenous they are to watch. I remember growing up, when it wasn't my turn to play a video game, I sure as shit wasn't watching somebody else play a video game. I'm fascinated by how this has become... You know, now it's on Twitch, and I'm assuming that they're hoping to grow it into something different in the future. I don't understand how watching video games... I mean, do you get that? Like, I mean, I can't imagine you were watching a lot of your friends play, you know, NBA 2K as a kid.
I mean, yes and no. We used to, because the way, you know, the real old person way that things... See, like, this is what I go through with my wife a lot. Like, when I was 10 years old, and I would be at my buddy's house playing Nintendo back then, and it was time to go home, and I would go home, and I would literally sit at home and be like, oh, I just wish there was a way I could still play Joey from up the street, but I could still be home, so I'm not late for I dreamed of this, like, hopefully one day being possible. So, and I have to explain, I explained it to my wife. It's like, I still feel like a little kid when I play. As far as the spectator sport element of it, you really gotta know the game and love the game. It's hard to get casual fans to come watch. Some games are a little bit easier or more exciting. I mean, the story I love the most is Rick Fox. Like, and there you go. There's a case where Rick Fox played in the NBA. He has a son. Wouldn't you think he would say, my son's gonna play in the NBA too, just like me. His son got super into gaming, and therefore got Rick Fox super into gaming. Now, they were fortunate enough to get involved, you know, on a ownership level of a team, and now they're like a father-son combo. And how is that not an inspiration? I mean, again, they were fortunate enough to do that, but there could be smaller versions of that story that where you don't have to have millions of dollars to buy into a team. And that's why I say I think the future is bright. I think there's a lot of job opportunity. I mean, I don't know. I put it this way. If I was 13, 14 years old, it's what I would be striving to be. I'd probably be striving to be something in a professional level. Because for guys like me, I'm never playing a pro sport. Ever. Ever. It's not happening. So there are feelings. I know it's not the same thing as, you know, LeBron hitting a clutch shot and looking to the crowd. But there's a micro version of it that's happening with these young guys. And it's pretty cool to me.
But wouldn't you, as a father, want to try to steer your kids towards something that you that has more possibilities? Like, if you're a great student, there are a lot of options for you in doing different things. If you're a great athlete, even if you don't make it, we touched on early, don't make it physically, you feel better. If you physically feel better, you mentally oftentimes feel better. I can't see it. I'm not a father yet, but I can't see like ever steer like encouraging my kid to do something that if they don't make it to the top level, I don't know what they get out of it. I don't know where they go from there. Like if they're a 21-year-old gamer that's not good enough to play at the NBA 2K level, what have they accomplished with all those hours put in?
Well, let me ask you a question. If you are a starting player, you're the fourth best player on a pretty good high school basketball program, and then maybe you get a D2 look, maybe, but it doesn't work out. But you put all these hours into playing basketball, right? And you don't end up getting any scholarships to the schools you wanted to go. What then happens with basketball? What did that lead you to then?
Well, I think you get the same thing that you've talked about with the 2K stuff, the camaraderie and all the things that come with being part of a team. And physically, very good chance you're in great shape.
Agreed.
And I think that helps you towards your future. I think that's a positive. That's the least I think you can possibly get out of it.
I understand that. And you should also know, like a lot of the guys in the 2K league like play a lot of real basketball. Mm-hmm. There's videos every day of them at their real team's facilities playing 3-on-3. It's a pretty unique situation. Do these kids,
like the ones on your team, are they doing this full time? Are they going, like they're 18, are they going to college? Or are they doing something?
Right now it's obviously full time. We have one young man who's in college. Mm-hmm. You know, we have, I think our oldest player, I think he's 26 years old. They're all of various stages. Some are in college, some graduated college, some are able, who have jobs and are able to like put it on hold. Excuse, if they're fortunate enough for a couple of months to do this. Our guy, it's you could call it a part-time job. It's a 6-month kind of thing. They get housing, they get health insurance. My mother's proudest day, I think for me, wasn't when I started like making money as an actor. It's when I got my own health insurance. Mm-hmm. And
every parent's proudest day.
And again, I keep calling them kids. I hate to say that they're young men. I don't mean to like marginalize, be like they're kids. I'm just almost 40. So, you know, anything under like 28 is a kid to me at this point. And also they're getting media opportunities. They're getting chance. We talk about brand. We've been talking off the air about I don't know what to name my kid because it's a branding lesson. These young men are building a brand. Mm-hmm. That yes, they're not going to be professional 2K players for the rest of their lives. It's not going to go till they're 50. Mm-hmm. But it could translate to another game. It could translate to a job within an organization. Mm-hmm. Madison Square Garden owns a team called CLG, Counter Logic Gaming, which they're much more like League of Legends and in the Overwatch world. That's a huge business. Like, mm-hmm. There's no reason why maybe one of our players in Knicks Gaming doesn't segue. Maybe not as a player. Maybe they're into coaching. Maybe they're into marketing. There's a huge amount of job opportunity
in
the gaming community.
Can this be, you called it a part-time job.
What I mean is the season is 6 months long. Okay. So there are some teams that keep their players in market all year round and have them streaming for them and still doing media appearances. It's all kind of relative to what that team is investing into the 2K portion. You know, some players have been there for the whole year, for 12 months. You know, New York City is a very expensive place to house people for 12 months. So it's all relative to that. You know, with our team, they're in market for the season and then a few weeks after, and then they go back home and they could go do whatever else they had going. And
what else? I mean, that's another question. Like if they're doing this 6 months out of the year, you know, is it almost like the WNBA where the WNBA players for a long time, they would play 6 months in the WNBA level and they go overseas and do something else. Like how can you make a living being a gamer, or can you make a living being a gamer is the question.
You could. So if you start building a good following through the 2K League, let's say, and then when you're off for 6 months and you're streaming on Twitch, and maybe you build your Twitch channel where you have some subscribers, and maybe you're making a couple of grand a month while you're off season, you know, or maybe there's one of these big gaming brands that wants to sponsor you and play on their channel. There is a ton of opportunity. Also, while still staying in the 2K community in the off season, the pro-am community is huge. So these guys are still playing. Mm-hmm. There's a new game that comes out, so they have to break down what that new game is and figure out. Like I said to you earlier, last year, two guard sharps were just that. They only shot. This year, two guards, it's a whole new skill set. The center last year was a big part of the game. This year, the center's a little bit marginalized in the sense where they don't impact the game maybe as much right now. So they got to break down the new game.
So it's like we're in the NBA. The center has been...
It's you got listen, I know you're a busy guy. I do invite you anytime. Come with me one day to the studio. We'll watch a good matchup. And you again, I'm not one of those guys that like you have to like this because I like it. I get it. This is not for everyone. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying everyone should support and like this. That doesn't bother me in the least. But you know, it's bigger than the how fast does he hit the A button. And I know just like you get upset when I go, these athletes, we'll just say they're
that's a phrase, yeah.
Young
that's
professionals.
Yeah, these professional gamers. Let's go with that.
We're finding
this doesn't feel like our NASCAR drivers athletes, our golfers athletes conversation. That's more on the flip side of it. We do have to ask you real quick about you're a New York sports fan, Knicks fan.
Yes.
What are your thoughts on what the Knicks are doing as they head towards this summer? They have gone... We haven't talked since the Knicks made the Porzingis trade, but they go out there and they, after saying they're going to build organically, they're going to do things in a slow, methodical way, they sign guys to one-year contract, which is smart, and now it's like I got into a time machine, it's 2010 all over again. We're all in, Jerry, on free agency. As a Knicks fan, your thoughts on that?
So my thoughts are, you know, first and foremost, I'm not saying I appreciate the losses and what's going on this year. But what I do appreciate, at least as a super fan, is I feel like I'm in on the plan. Mm-hmm. It's pretty obvious what we are doing. It's not hard to figure out. And they're also not even really trying to, they're not saying, you know, we're used to be even 2-3 years ago, like with a D Rose trade and a Noah sign, like we're rebuilding, but we're still trying to stay competitive. We're still trying to make the playoffs while rebuilding. And I don't really feel like that's what was going on. Mm-hmm. You know, I just feel like, or maybe it was just a mismatch of a plan. I feel like we are now all in on the plan. Am I a little scared that the fate kind of lies in the balance of ping pong balls and wooing KD and or Kyrie or whoever? Yes, it certainly makes me feel uneasy. But I think this is the best shape we've been in as an organization for the future that we've been in a long time. Can it go terribly wrong? Of course.
Did you feel that way in 2010, though, when they were... I mean, this is even worse because they gave away a potential franchise player in exchange for virtually nothing. And they're going all in on Kevin Durant saying yes, Kyrie Irving saying yes, maybe it's Jimmy Butler who says yes. But if they don't get any of these guys... And I'd look, my opinion is I think they get Durant. I think that's... Kyrie's kind of a, who knows, you can't really predict what Kyrie's going
to
do.
And there's still a lot of things that need to be told through the rest of the season.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. I mean, and you never know. Like, Kevin Durant is one of those guys where he can be influenced over these next few months. I mean, if he decides, like, you know, maybe I want to win 6 championships, he might stay in Golden State. The Clippers are going to make a hard run at him. I know that. But if they wind up with nothing, Jerry, like that's like, fire the owner, too. Like, everybody's got to go. Because if you're going to put this franchise in a position where, like, worst case scenario, they get nobody, and they get the 4th pick in the draft, which is possible since the flattened odds make that.
It is kind of ironic that the first year they sort of got tanking correct is the year it's not nearly as important. Like, I was at the game last night, D-Wade's last game. I believe we clinched the worst record in the league that night as well. Mm-hmm. So it was a big night.
A lot of high fives all around the stands.
Look, every team needs a little bit of an element of luck, no matter what. I mean, looking back even at, like, the Warriors, like, now you think, like, Knicks are one pick away from Steph Curry. That was unlucky, you know? So many things factor into that. So, yes, we certainly need a stroke of good luck, hopefully getting a top three pick, or preferably one, but two or three will still be good. And you hope that, again, I know there's league rules that you're not allowed to do, but you hope they just have when they say they're confident we're going to do well in the summer, you hope that that's coming from someplace.
Yes.
And I also think that organizationally the pieces are in place. I think Fizdale being there is a sign in a direction that, like, we are going to try to get free agents there. No disrespect to any of the previous coaches, but I think that sets a different precedent where I think guys do want to go play for Fiz. Scott Perry, Steve Mills, I think it's laid out now where it maybe is a little more attractive for a top-tier free agent to come and feel like it's all in good hands.
I think they have to be good in the room when they meet free agents, because when they met with LeBron and with Dwayne Wade, and Dwayne Wade even said this in the aftermath, like, he didn't get the feeling the Knicks were prepared for, you know, to win at a high level. And, you know, if you're Durant, who's going to be 30, you're Kyrie Irving, going to be into his 30s in this next contract. Yep. I mean, you've got to be believe that this organization is built to win. Just having two top-tier guys isn't it. I mean, I think, frankly, you know, Mitchell Robinson panning out is a good mark for them.
It gives good grades to the front office, yeah. Right? And you know, even Knox has shown signs of,
he's
obviously,
okay. Yeah.
He's got a, you know, he's so young. Even being there at the game where you look at him, it's like, my God, this dude was in college mm-hmm. last year. You know,
18, 19,
and the year before yeah. that, he was in high school. Mm-hmm. So, you know, even with young Frank, who I still stand by, you know, and love, it's like, you know, to make the ruling on what these guys are at the same, like, how many times have we all made that mistake? Mm-hmm. You know, we did it with D'Angelo Russell in a way, didn't we? Like, we kind of dubbed what we think he is, and he didn't pan out.
Mm-hmm.
And now, I mean, he's probably, him and Aaron Judge are like the two biggest names in New York sports right mm-hmm. now.
Yeah.
So it's going to be really interesting. And again, I'm never going to be one of the guys that's like, I'm done with this franchise. I'm not watching. No, that's not how sports works.
Mm-hmm.
You ride out the bad times, and because you know what? When the times are good, then you have ownership of that. You yeah. feel like you earned it. So I'm not going anywhere.
There's something to being a star in New York. I mean, I had a GM tell me this just last night, where if the Knicks got Durant and Kyrie Irving, they would be the Cowboys times 100. Like,
for
that's
sure.
how big they would be. And because the Knicks, the only big star they've had in kind of the modern era is Patrick Ewing. Like, that was it. Carmelo to a degree, but it was so negative. Like, everything was negative around Carmelo. He was blamed for everything they did. If you get Durant and Kyrie and they're successful.
It's like a clean slate, too.
Yeah.
They're starting with the clean. There's really no baggage at this point. You know, they're starting with the clean slate. And I will say, and you spend time in New York, you know, New York is a basketball city. Like, yes, we love the Yankees and the Mets, and of course we love when the Giants beat the Patriots and all, of course. But at least from my memory growing up in the 90s, when the Knicks are relevant and good, it's all anybody could talk about. We talk about bringing in the casual fan, like 2K is trying to do, and it's tough. With that, the Knicks do that better than any other franchise, where the guy who hasn't watched basketball in 2 years all of a sudden is all about the Knicks. He's buying jerseys and he's talking about it at the water cooler. So...
Mm-hmm.
You know, it feels like the timing is really right, and we just got to get a little lucky. Everyone has to get a little lucky.
Yeah, they do. Jerry, I can't say you've sold me on 2K, but I do believe it's more than just tapping the X button and flipping a controller. And I will take you up on that some point in your 18-week season to check out. Maybe when do you play the Boston team? Does that?
I could pull up the schedule. Boston is, that's who we beat in the finals in that ticket tournament. I said we beat the Celtics.
All right. Well, maybe I'll go to the Celtics versus Knicks gaming team and see if I can come a little bit further on. But this was fun, man. Thanks for coming in.
Always, Chris. Always.